Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1, you'll find our text in verses 2 through 4, but I want to read verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 4. Would you please stand with me so that together we may honor the reading of God's word this morning. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause just for a moment. Our Father, we ask again for your favor, for your divine illumination in our hearts and minds so that we can grasp the truth that we find today in your word. The gospel is not made up by man. It's the gospel of God. Lord, open our ears that we may hear. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our hearts that we may sense and grasp, Lord, the significance of the gospel of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Why is it that Paul comes, and why is it that he's so intent on driving home the point that the gospel of God, and he says that in verse 1, the last couple of words, that the gospel of God did not originate with him or the other apostles? Why is it that he's driving home that point? Now, remember who he's writing to. He's writing to the church at Rome. Many were Jews, but many also were Gentiles. But Paul, because he was a Jew, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said, because he was trained by one of the greatest of all the rabbis, Gamaliel, because he had an incredible education, and because at one time he did persecute the church, and yet after the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he has this incredible vision of seeing Jesus. He comes to faith in Christ, and he is going all around the world at that time, Asia Minor, going around sharing the gospel, being put in jail, kicked out of synagogues, being beaten, shipwrecked, all these things. Paul wants them to know, not so much about his resume, not about all the things that he's accomplished and done. He wants them to know that the gospel did not originate from man or tradition. The gospel originated from God. Why is that? You see, because most of the Jews of his day were accustomed, this is important, to looking at rabbinical tradition for religious guidance, that the Old Testament, listen, it was more looked upon as a sacred relic than as a source of truth. So they looked to the rabbis and they wanted to hear what they had to say versus what the Bible said. At that time, they had the Old Testament, because they saw that as just, it was a historical book. It was just something, it was one of our artifacts. It was something that we cherish, yes. But if you want to know what's going on, all you need to do is ask the rabbis, because they were interpreting all that was going on in the day. So the Word of God had been set aside, and the Jews in the first century, they were more or less looking at the rabbis for truth. Their interpretation of it. Now let's stop there just for a moment. How are we doing in our day? The Word of God literally has been set aside, and we want to hear what everybody else thinks it says, and we want to hear their interpretation. We want them to help us to understand, how does it fit in my life today? And you know, some of that, I mean that's old stuff, but what about today? We're in the same boat they're in. What's the gospel today is not what thus saith the Lord. The gospel today is whatever you think it is, whatever you want it to be. That's why the LGBT, and that's why all of these occults outside of us, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's why, because this has been set aside, they can come along and you can just make it up, and that's the gospel to them. Now, how dangerous is that? As far as eternity is concerned, it's not good. We've got to get back to the scriptures. We've got to get back to what the Bible says. Really doesn't matter what Dr. So-and-so, I mean, you can have as many degrees as you got on a thermometer. It doesn't matter what he says. What does God say? That's why Paul comes, and look back with me in verse 1. He says, and he gives, he has to tell them who he is. Okay, he says, Paul, a servant, by the way, that's a bond servant by choice. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, and listen to this, unto the gospel of God. Paul said, I didn't make this stuff up. It's the gospel of God. And these verses that we see, that's why we're only covering, you know, four of them today. He says, which, verse 2, he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul says, you need to go back to what the Old Testament, now the Jews, they know what that, you need to go back and see what Jeremiah said. You need to go back and hear what Isaiah has to say. You need to go back and listen to what the psalmist wrote. What's Paul doing? Paul is clarifying, he is declaring that yet, you know, this has been God's message all along. It just didn't happen. The Jews always were looking for the Messiah. They had that part right. But what they missed was the fact of how the Messiah was going to come. Micah says that he's going to be, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Mary? Oh, no, 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 no. She doesn't fit where we, you know, she's poor. She's up in, you know, from Nazareth. I mean, please. I mean, is anything good ever come out of there? You've heard all this. Because they stepped away from the Scriptures, even though they had some spotlights on how he was going to come, they didn't like that version. They wanted their own version. It's just like us today. I want a God who's going to save me from wrath and hell, but I don't want a God who's going to mess with my life because I'm going to have fun and I'm going to do what I want to do and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. After all, I have free will. Yeah, you have free will, but there's also the sovereignty of God involved in that too. Why does God want to be this big mean bully that wants to just take everything from my life? Because he's trying to save you from yourself. Matthew 1 says, Jesus came to save us from our sins. God knows exactly what our sins will do. He'll know what our lustful appetites will do. He knows exactly where we're going to end up. That's why it's called the gospel of God, not the gospel of Paul, not the gospel of man. So the Old Testament, Paul says, and he goes to it in verse 2, he says, which he hath a promise before afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Watch verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now watch verse 2. There's two things, verse 3. There's two things that are important here. One, concerning his son, God's son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now watch this. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Emmanuel. God had promised that the Messiah would come through the earthly line of David. Paul reminds them of that. What's he doing? He's just putting out these dots, and he's allowing the Spirit of God to connect these dots so they could understand, yes, the Messiah did come, and he did come through David. You can go to Matthew's gospel, and it's amazing. It starts in Abraham, and it goes all the way, ends up with Joseph. That's through the line of Joseph, his earthly father. You can go to the gospel of Luke, chapter 3, and you can follow it, and it's reversed. It starts with Adam and goes all the way back to the line of Joseph. But there's two things different there. So they came from the same family? No, because if you follow the line of Joseph in Matthew, you'll go through Solomon. If you go through the Gospel of Luke and you come through, and when you get to David, you go through Nathan. Nathan was the older brother of Solomon. See, why was that? Because Paul knew that if the Jews who really understood and studied their history, they knew that if you tried to put that and you skipped over that, that that would make it to be an error. But to the Jews who were connected, those who were really into the study of their history, they knew that through the line of Mary, there was Nathan, not Solomon. Remember, words mean something. Facts are important because they have to be right. And so through all of that, going through all of that, that heritage and going through all of that is in place. So Paul comes and he's writing to the Jews in Rome. He's writing to the Gentiles as well. He says, listen, the Messiah came through David. Yes, the Messiah became flesh, the incarnation. Ah, there it is, the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. And so the Jews who heard about Christ, and they heard about all of a sudden it all starts coming together and go, he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of God. Now watch this. It doesn't stop there. He says in verse 4, not only concerning, in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. What kind of power? According to the Spirit of holiness. This is God's supernatural power. Well, how was it manifested? By the resurrection from the dead. Nobody had resurrected yet, but the Messiah did. Now, why is that so important? We talk about this every Easter. Why is the resurrection such a big deal? I mean, we got bunny rabbits, we got Easter eggs, we got all this stuff going on. I mean, okay, we go down to the beach and people go out there and hopefully it's not cold and they get in the water. And you know, this year we had a drone. I mean, that was a great thing. You're missing the whole point. Why is the resurrection so important? Because the resurrection defeated the last enemy, which is death. And it justified all that God did on your behalf and my behalf. Watch this. The Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Proof that God has accepted the death of Christ, who was our substitute for our sin debt that we all owe, for all have sinned. Proof that God was satisfied. Proof that God has now diverted his wrath away from us. It was upon Christ on the cross. Proof that God is satisfied. Proof that God is now good with you and me is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because death has been slain. The sin debt has been paid. Now, to the Jews, that meant something. Us, because we've taken the scriptures and we've laid them over here, and, you know, I'm just going by what Dr. So-and-so says, and, you know, he says, you know, that's not a big thing, and virgin birth's not a big thing, and resurrection, yeah, you know, but I need self-help things to make me feel better about myself, and I need to work on some things. No, we need to get back over here to the Word. What does the Word say? And it goes back to the simple gospel message. And it's not man's gospel. It's not the Southern Baptist. It's not the Great Commission. It's not what we do all the way around the world. It's the gospel of God. It's for your benefit, the resurrection. Now watch this. You're getting a short abbreviation. I've got two Sundays all piled in here now. Now watch this. It boils down to this. We call the gospel the good news. Amen? The gospel's not good until it gets there on time. It's not good news to some people if it doesn't get to them. So what does that mean? That means we need to be sharing the gospel. The gospel of God, not the gospel of the church, not the gospel of baptism, not the gospel that I can talk to you and I can tell you I was a greater sinner than you. Because, you know, we like to compete. It's in our blood. Well, before I got saved, I did this. Oh, yeah, well, I did this. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. And so we need to get the majors off of us, and we need to get back to the minors. We need to be sharing the gospel of what Christ can do in a man's life, what Christ can do in a person's life. So the gospel is not good news unless it gets there on time. There's another statement I heard this week. The tragedy of the gospel is that there's people, watch now, not over there, but right here, who haven't heard yet. The greater tragedy of the gospel is that there's people here and all around the world who haven't heard yet, and the greater tragedy is there's no one going to tell them. That's the greater tragedy. And folks, that's on us who know the gospel, who get it, who got it. We need to tell people about Jesus. So, well, it's scary. Well, yeah, it's scary. Why is it so easy to talk about our grandkids? And you know, we used to pull out pictures. Now we do iPhone. 500 pictures. You want to see them? Why is that so easy? Because it's not threatening. And there's no supernatural warfare involved in that, is there? Nah. But when you start talking about Jesus and the gospel of God, guess who doesn't want you talking about that? Yeah, and I'm not talking about the guy with the pitchfork and the horns. No, I'm talking about the real monster. He does not want you talking about Jesus. Why? Because the truth is going to set him free. And we have the truth. So if we're going to share the gospel, we've got to get prepared. We've got to get ready. We've got to know it. And you know what really helps you to know it? Okay? Now, every year, usually three times a year, Kevin will have all of the veterans to stand. And all the veterans, we all have something in common. You ready? It's called boot camp. We've all been there. Oh, man. You want to go back? Mm-mm. Don't want to go back. Don't want to do that again. Glad I did it. Glad I lived through it. You just talking about boot camp. Oh, yeah, boot camp. So the veterans, we all have that in common. We've all been there. We can talk about our experiences of going through boot camp. But you know what? As followers of Christ, as we're following him, we all have a testimony, we all have a history, and we're all together. And you know what? You can share that with them. I'm not talking about the mistakes, not talking about that, but talking about, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you how he forgave me and how he helps me. And I'm not perfect yet, but I am forgiven, and he's brought joy into my life. And it's not been easy. I've had cancer, I've had surgeries, I've lost loved ones, but yet he changed my heart. He changed my outlook on how I look at things. Jesus Christ did that for me, and he'll do the same thing for you. That's all it is. It's that simple. But see, if you're not living it, it's hard to talk about it. If you're living it, it's just natural. Before I became a grandparent, I would be around people, and they'd say, I'm a grandparent. I'm going, oh, my Lord. I'm going to get bombarded here. You want to see the pictures? Sure. I didn't care about grandbabies. I didn't have any. I mean, okay. Oh, he's so cute. That's a cute little girl. That's a boy. Okay, messed up. Okay. Look. Oh, he's just so beautiful. Oh, he looks just like his mama. No, he doesn't look like his mama. He looks like somebody in your family. I mean, you just keep messing up. But then when I became a grandfather, you want to see my pictures? I got some pictures. I mean, they're doing all kinds of, and they're breaking stuff. I don't care. It's, you know, it's just stuff. Now I have the same experience that they do, so I can communicate with those people. And the people who aren't grandparents yet, I'm coming. And this is a cute little buddy. And they're going, is that a baby? Oh, yeah, look at that baby. That is a gorgeous baby. That's a gorgeous baby, yeah. What is it? Is it a boy or a girl? Because, you know, you don't want to mess up. It looks just like you. You shouldn't say that about my baby. This is a pretty baby. What's the point? The point is that I have something to talk about. As followers of Christ, we have plenty to talk about. And you know what witnessing is? It's just bragging on Jesus. Do you have anything to brag on Jesus about? How about the fact he saved you? He's changing me. I'm not done yet. He's changing me. It's the gospel of God. We've got the Old Testament on our side. We've got the New Testament on our side. You've got your own personal testimony. You've seen what God can do all around you. And all he wants us to do is share that good news with people. And remember, the good news is not good unless it gets their own time. Amen? Let's pray. Father, it's a simple gospel story. We make it so hard and we're so fearful of sharing it, Lord, because of one of two things. Either we're not living it, so we can't back it up, or we're not sure. We're not sure it works. We're still trying it out. It's almost like it's the gospel on trial. It's on parole. Lord, I pray today before we leave this place, we would be convinced that the gospel of God is real. It does work. It has the power to save us from our sin. It has the power to help us to repent and stay that way. It's the gospel of the good news. And may we get it to that person in time so that it can be good for them. Lord, we've had a lot of things happen today in this hour. We've challenged the men. We heard the joyful call that one day the church is going to rise up. And Lord, that's then, but we need to rise up now. That's now. We've looked into your word. The Old Testament backs up the gospel. The New Testament is the gospel. And Lord, we are now the gospel incarnate. It's in us. Give us courage. Give us the discipline to live our lives as such. The gospel will be believable, that it works. And Lord, it's not the people on the other side of the world in dark places that need the gospel. Lord, there's people right here in our own community that need the gospel. Some have never heard it. And Lord, that's our mission field. So whether we're here or over there, let us live the gospel, that the human race can be saved for your glory and honor. We ask and pray these things. Amen and amen. Kevin is going to come. I'm going to stand here at the front. I'm going to ask you this morning if you would recommit yourself to being a witness for Christ, a gospel witness for Christ. This is not a come forward invitation, come down and shake the preacher's hand. Now, you can do it right there. If you want to come, you can. That's fine. But I'm going to ask you to recommit yourself to be a gospel witness for Christ. It's the gospel of God. It's not the gospel according to the church, the gospel of baptism. No, it's the gospel of God. Christ took our place, suffered our death. The resurrection, God is satisfied. By faith, we trust him. Now by faith, I follow him. He has sealed me into the day of redemption by his Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. I know that. Now I can tell others that it works. It's that simple. Will you do that today? Will you recommit yourself today to be a gospel witness for Christ? If you'd like to join our fellowship, we welcome you to come. This morning you're here and you've never been saved. You do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to come and let us have the joy of showing you what the Scriptures say about being saved. The Word of God. Not tradition. Not what I think. It's what God says in His Word. Will you come today?